This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Dave Hill's podcasting incident on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome to Dave Hill's podcasting incident with me, Dave Hill, the pride of Cleveland and beyond. I don't even want to tell you what happened in the men's room of the Denver airport, for example. Anyway, well, as you could probably hear in the background, my co-host Lucy is, I don't know what the hell she's doing. My life's a nightmare. She's rooting around, playing with a ball or something. That's a lack of professionalism, Lucy, if I'm being honest. Anyway, thank you for joining me once again for Dave Hill's podcasting incident. What critics are already calling one of the top 4,000 podcasts released today. No, I shouldn't be so self-deprecating, Dave. It's really great. Anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you for rating, reviewing, and subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your incredible podcasts. I'm deeply grateful. Also, please, and now I'm begging, please rate and review this podcast as much as possible. Because what I do, let's be honest, in my downtime, in my quiet hours, in the small hours of the night, what I do is go on the internet and see what people are saying about me and my various exploits. And, you know, when they're positive, it gives me reason to go on. No. Well, there's that. But I'm told it's really helpful in the podcasting, you know, the dog-eat-dog podcasting world of 2019. The more rating, reviewing, and commenting. It just... Lucy just threw the ball at me. Come on, Lucy. This is, you know, it's a homespun charm, sure. But it's really hard to, you know, do a podcast and intro with a 65-pound dog attacking you. But I will move on. Do my best. Persevere. I also want to thank those of you who have been supporting us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Dave Hill. Patches have gone out. T-shirts are coming down the pike very soon. And there's so many incredible perks. Not least of which, for a very minor donation, you get to be, and it's not really a donation so much as it is a commitment to being a part of podcasting excellence and getting free stuff in the process and being a part of what I like to think of as an elite group of Dave Hill's podcasting incident listeners. Well, anyone who listens is elite. Just saying, if you support it, I guess what I'm trying to say, I'll mail you stuff. You'll also be a member of my street gang, the Dangerous Snakes Who Hate Bullshit, who has been, you know, we've been roaming the streets for a long time now, but you know, now with a contribution, I believe it's just a mere $5 a month, you get your very own street gang name. That's right. This week I would like to thank James Madden of Kearney, New Jersey. James, your Dangerous Snakes Who Hate Bullshit name is James Madden, the Kearney enforcer who's not afraid to name names and occasionally use swears. Lucy added like a little groan there for emphasis. I thought it sounded cool. Not sure if you heard it. I'd also like to thank Michael Campbell from Astoria, New York. Michael Campbell, your Dangerous Snakes Who Hate Bullshit gang member name is the Astoria Keeper of Secrets until he feels like telling him. Then watch out, Janet. I don't know why I just kind of made up the name Janet. You may not have a Janet in your life, Michael. It's never too late, though. Think about it. I've sort of pronounced them weird, too. Let's try it again. Michael Campbell, the Astoria Keeper of Secrets until he feels like telling them. then watch out. Janet. Hey, Chris, if you could add some echo at the end when I say Janet, that'd be pretty cool. No problem if you can't get around to it. The cops are swirling in the background. Swirling, whatever. I'm not going to tell you how to do your business. Anyway, as always, we have an incredible episode in store for you today. My guest today is Bridie Mons Watson. Lucy is getting excited about it. Lucy, as you'll hear, is very excited during the podcast itself. Bridie, a.k.a. Soak, just 22 years old, from Northern Ireland. She has a great new album coming out called Grimtown on Rough Trade Records. I have it. You gotta get it. Who's written about her, Dave? You're wondering? New York Times, Los Angeles Times, The New Yorker, NPR Music, Noisy, Nylon, Bus, The Guardian, NME, and more. Many more. Does that mean I'm late to the Soak party? No. Because I just choose to believe what I want to believe. Anyway, this is a great artist, a great album, and she was a delight to have come over to my place, and she was very patient with Lucy, my co-host, and as I'm losing my patience with Lucy right now, if I'm being honest. Anyway, please enjoy my delightful conversation with Bridie Mons Watson, a.k.a. Soak. Here it is. Bridie, thank you so much for coming over.
Thank you for having me.
To my lovely apartment.
I really like your apartment.
Thank you.
It's really cool.
It's about a million degrees right now because we're recording to, what's it like, 6 degrees outside?
It's shockingly
Fahrenheit.
Cold.
Yeah. And then, so as a result, my landlord makes it like a sauna in here. But anyway, thank you for braving the freezing cold. I love your new album, Grimtown.
Thank you.
I've been jamming it. And also, well, I will have already said this before in the lead up, but your artist, or would you say it's a band or artist name, Soak?
Or artist
just
name?
Over,
I don't know. It's just kind of like a thing.
Yeah. But do people call you Soak? Like when you walk up off stage, they go, "Hey, Soak."
None of my friends ever do. Okay. Then they think it's really strange if people ever call me Soak because it's just so not a nickname.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But I guess people who don't know me will call me Soak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're both great names, Bridie and Soak.
Yeah, but weird. But
yeah,
isn't that cool?
But and you just started. We were just before we started recording. Where I was boring you guys with my Mercury Lounge stories, but you guys, you played. You just started your tour last night at Mercury Lounge, and so it went great though.
Yeah,
it was
really
cool.
And
then I'll backtrack to where you live.
I got it.
Have you played in New York City before?
Yeah, I've played here quite a few times, but always. I've not only been here for like a couple of days each time, you know. But
stealth.
Yeah, stealthy.
Attacks.
In and out, really quick.
Yeah.
But it's been like 2 years since we played in America, so it's really nice. We always have a really good time when we come here, and it's been really nice.
Is it? I keep hearing both from friends and then just reading about it, but that it's harder to come here now to play. Mm. They make it more of a pain in the ass.
It's really expensive to get like a band over here.
Mm-hmm.
When I started out, it was just me, and I feel like that was really convenient for everyone involved in the whole thing. And then there's like five of us now. And
so you brought the whole band?
Yeah, which is like amazing, and it's so cool that we can, I don't know, do that live.
Yeah,
totally. It's very expensive, and then visas and everything. It's just quite a procedure, but once you get it all sorted, it's worth it, I think.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think. Well, we were just talking about that. How a lot. I mean, it's. I don't fault anyone for doing this, just like because a lot of it's hard to have like a band, and have a bunch of people on stage, and it's easier to just go bring a laptop,
just press play,
and
just chill.
There you go. And so I think it's cool that you're doing the full band.
Thanks. I like it. It's less lonely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did a lot of like, kind of like I came to South by my well, with like a manager, but I was like 17 at the time. And
yeah, you're really
quite
young.
Quite lonely to.
How old are you? Do you mind if I ask how old you are now?
I'm 22 now.
22. You're so old now. It's all over for you.
Yeah, I'm going to go grass now. The dream has happened and died.
But, so this is the start, though. You're doing, you do Philadelphia tomorrow?
Yep. And then Washington and then LA.
Nice.
It's just a couple little.
All the key markets.
Yeah.
Skipping in between. And so you live, you live in Manchester now. Mm-hmm. But you're from Derry, Northern Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
What made you move to Manchester, the sun?
Kind of. It's still quite cold there.
No, it must be, right? It's not anymore, well, Grimmtown, I love the title. The new album is Grimmtown, but it made me think of, like, I love the UK in general.
Yeah.
But it does get pretty grim over there. Based on, like, the weather alone, like.
The weather is a big part of it. Like, anywhere, like, it could be the most beautiful place in the world, but if it's freezing cold and there's rain, like, seeping into your bones, it's a bit sad.
Do you find, though, I find this, that somehow, though, like, in the UK, it can be like wet and freezing, yet humid and sweaty all at
it's
once.
It's like everything at once is intense.
Yeah.
But that's what Ireland's like as well. Where I'm from in Derry is right on the coast, so you're always 10 minutes from the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And that's beautiful, and landscape-wise, it's like ever-changing and really unique. But it's freezing and miserable. And, like, just all the weather happens all at once, and it's stormy, and...
Yeah, it's bizarre. Like, you can't ever...
You can't plan anything, because you just never know what it's going to be like. Barbecue is just not...
And whatever you're wearing is wrong somehow. You're like, I have not enough clothes on, but too much clothes on at the
And then
same time.
We get, like, the sun comes out once, and suddenly everyone's just naked.
Yeah.
And it's still, like, could be raining still, you know?
I hate, like, when the weather breaks, and then... This always annoys me in New York, and Chris can, and probably Hector as well. It's like people, the weather it'll be like vaguely warmer. It'll be like this cold today, and then it'll be like 20 degrees warmer. And then there'll be some asshole in like shorts and a t-shirt being like, yeah.
Summer's here finally.
I hate that. And then you
I don't like those people.
Be like, it's going to be freezing tomorrow. Don't, calm down.
You're going to jinx it if you go on like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad we agree on this. Though it would be okay if you
if I was a short kind of, I did see someone in shorts today, and I just don't know how, what drove them to that. Because I was walking and I had to buy new socks today because it was too cold. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this: was the shorts person? I feel like the only people that wear shorts in this weather. And tell me if anyone in this room disagrees. It's always a guy who looks like he works the door at a club.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a goatee, he's like a bigger guy.
Yeah.
And he has toned like legs. Cargo shorts and like probably tattoos on his calves.
Really strong calves though.
He's got a winter hat on and like a backpack. But if you saw him in July, that's what he would look like still. Is that what this
that's
guy
pretty much
looks
the
like?
Exact guy, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always that guy. Which, like, backs up my argument, my anti-shorts argument. I don't know where you fall on shorts in general.
You're not into them?
Me neither.
You don't like them?
I don't even own them. I'll go that hard. I don't even... You could search my apartment. You will not find shorts.
Not one pair.
No, just on principle.
I respect that.
Because it's like... Lucy's... Well, we always have hydrating interruptions. Lucy has her fans, though. This is why she has not been fired. From the podcast is because, you know, we get comments about the content of the podcast, but sometimes, but we always get
primarily
a lot of thumbs up on
pretty dog
interruptions in the background. But yeah, I think with the short, and I'll finish my shorts tirade, but I think the fact that there are these, the door guy from every club in America is walking around in shorts proves the point. If he's wearing them year round, then they're never really serving any purpose. You just wear pants. Yeah. Paris. That's why I don't. That's why I don't do it.
Yeah.
Plus, it's just not rock and roll to wear shorts.
Unless they're like sweet denim shorts that are too big and.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only maybe acceptable ones.
You wouldn't see like, I don't know, Johnny Marr take the stage in shorts.
Wouldn't want to see that.
No. I don't know where you fall. Are you a Smiths fan living in Manchester?
Yeah, we were just talking about the Smiths last night. Not like an insanely big fan, but I did get excited. I drove past the other day, Salford Lads Club.
Oh, yeah,
and I was kind of like, oh, my God. And then my girlfriend was like, you don't even like them. And I was like, yeah, but it's kind of it's history.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Wait, so how long have you been in Manchester?
Just over a year now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, that's a cool city. And I'm going to bring it all the way around in my trademark style. But you're despite it's called the album's called Grimtown, but it's actually like I love it. I find most of it like is really like uplifting music.
Yeah.
To me.
That's what we were trying to do.
It worked.
Yeah.
It's totally worked.
Yeah, the whole kind of idea behind it was I was kind of 15 onwards, I'd done a lot of touring and moving around a lot. Mm-hmm. And when that album was done and I had time to settle down, I think I got a taste of all the world and lived a really fast life, and then it all stopped and I was just like not moving for a little while, and that affected me quite harshly, and I think I had to just accept a lot of things, and I couldn't run from a lot of things too.
Yeah.
So that's why the album kind of started. And I wanted to make it as like a journey in and out of a completely pretend place. She agrees.
She agrees fully. But, so have you been touring as Soak since you were 15?
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. And do you feel like, because you were mentioning like that it was hard to stop traveling for all that time, when I get back, like I've been away for the last couple of weeks, and then I'm like, I get home and I'm like, oh cool,
yeah,
and then by about 3 o'clock this afternoon I'll be like, oh boy,
restless,
we gotta get, where's the next
what's coming up. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like to not be busy. And I'm very, very impatient. I'm very impulsive, so I find it hard not to have some sort of schedule or things to look forward to. And I think just when I kind of stalled, and I think on tour as well, like it becomes such a repetitive thing that it's like time doesn't pass. Mm-hmm. And then when you stop, it's like, oh, here's normal life things again.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I think so much time had passed from my first album that when I started writing Grimtown, it was like this whole idea of being a life trainee, as I call it, and
learn. A life trainee?
Yeah, and just learning to, I don't know, be an adult and just the whole process of growing up.
So is your family all back in Northern Ireland?
Yeah, they all live there.
Mm-hmm. And how did you, Lucy, come on, you're just interrupting. But how did you, so did you leave school early to tour and all that?
Yeah, I did my GCSEs. I don't know what they transfer
was
into
that
here.
Like a,
but I was like,
probably like a GED,
15
maybe?
Or 16.
So that's like a sort of like a high school equivalency.
Yeah.
Type thing. Yeah.
I did that, and then that was kind of compulsory, and then I just stopped and left.
Uh-huh.
I went to a music college really briefly.
Uh huh.
And then they kicked me out after a while.
Why?
I got a lot of interest, and then I started to tour whilst in school, and then I kind of wasn't really in school because the touring was so much more exciting to me. So I stopped attending, and then they got rid of me.
Oh,
but I mean,
right.
It was... I would have ended up leaving anyways, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think whenever... It was one of those, like, all the opportunities were there, and I didn't want moments to pass, so I just went for it. And haven't regretted it so far.
Yeah, you can go back to school.
Yeah.
Whenever. Or never.
Or never.
Or never.
The option's always open.
Yeah. And you have a song called Life Trainee, I should point out.
Yeah.
I'm reminding myself of. I have the album in front of me. Do you have a favorite song?
I
can tell you what mine is.
I don't know. I would say right now my favorites are either Valentine Schmelentine or a song called Maybe, because it's like really fun to play on guitar and makes me feel quite hardcore.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm rethinking my favorites. But I really like Knock Me Off My Feet. Is that a favorite?
Yeah, that's...
Of the people?
Of the people. Yeah, people have a bit of a dance to that, which is... My first album was very cry alone kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. So this, to like have people dancing, is quite exciting for me.
Yeah, I feel like there's... Yeah, there's a lot of dancing potential.
Is it crying and dancing this time?
Which together is at last.
Definitely an upgrade.
That's the bet. That's like the most cathartic combo you can have.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, get all the emotions out and get some sporting activity in at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone wins.
And what does your family think of Soak? Are they pro Soak?
Yeah, they're pro Soak.
Oh, nice. They should be.
Yeah.
I'd be enraged like if they weren't.
Yeah, my dad always wanted to be a musician when he was a kid, so I think he lived through me for a little while at the start.
Oh, nice.
And then just because my mom kind of ended up managing me for the first little bit, and that was an interesting Kris Jenner type scenario.
Oh, really? How so?
It was just, I guess, because I was living in Northern Ireland and it's quite rural. Mm-hmm. In terms of music industry, whenever there was interest from record labels and stuff, didn't really have any sort of manager professional that I knew of to work with. So my mom took the reins for a bit. Uh-huh. And she did a really good job. And I think I owe like my current management setup and booking agents and stuff to her, because she looked out for me so much.
Did she
at the start?
Was she okay handing off the baton?
I think she was nervous, just because like music industry is like a scary place, I guess. And
it's a cruel mistress.
Yeah, so I think she just wanted me to be safe was the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's still like very like, are they being nice to you, about my managers? Mm-hmm. And she's like, are they still fun?
What about Hector over here? Is he being nice to you? He seems.
He
so
just
far,
got
so
me
good.
An almond croissant, so that 10 out of 10 so far.
Don't get better.
Have been bought.
But it, you know. The label, don't let the label charge that back. Almond croissant. So what is it? Who are these people in your band? What's
in
their
the band.
Story?
So there are 4 of us in the band now.
Including
Tommy,
including you, or in
including
addition?
Me.
Oh, okay.
Who's the
fifth person?
Rory, who does our sound and tour manages us.
Okay.
So Tommy and James, Tommy McLaughlin, James Byrne, play drums. Like
they both
it's
play
difficult.
Drums?
Well, one plays drums, and then kind of everybody in the band ends up playing a different instrument at some point.
Oh, just
nice.
Because
there's a lot of production on the records, and
yeah,
everyone's a bit, I don't know,
everyone
crazy.
Everyone can do a bit of all quite, of it.
Yeah, but hyperactive. But yeah, I've known those two guys for maybe 10 years now.
Oh, nice.
Around about that. They've just played in bands in Ireland, and Tommy runs a studio. He recorded my first record.
Oh, nice. Oh, so they live back in Northern Ireland.
Yeah. And then Sophie Galpin, she just joined our band.
Mm-hmm.
She's from Manchester. She plays like mainly keyboard, but also everything else.
Mm-hmm.
They're really nice.
Oh, nice. So you guys get along.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you have a van?
Not right now, but usually, yeah.
What do you do? How do you get around then?
Well, right now, I don't even know. What
you don't know how you're getting to Philadelphia?
I imagine we're going to drive, but I haven't
heard. Oh, Hector,
someone
we
else
gotta
organized.
Sort this out. Kris, get on the... call U-Haul. Philadelphia's not that far away. It's kind of like...
No, it's close enough. You could walk.
Yeah, it's like going to Staten Island, pretty much.
Yeah,
yeah, you could pretty much walk. It's not a problem. So you guys all get along, though?
Yes, they're all really super chill. They're very, they show their affection by insult, which I'm into.
Oh, yeah.
So everyone kind of gets a baptism of fire when they start working with us.
That's what
but
I
keeps
find,
things
like,
exciting.
That once, I would say, like, once the door shuts, like, on the van or whatever the vehicle is, that... everyone's intelligence gets cut in half.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you go brain dead so many times.
And then you just start insulting each other. Do you have like a...
It's healthy though, I think.
It is, but I learned like... Do you have... Is there one person in the band who takes more abuse than the rest?
I'd say it's quite equal. Everybody knows how to dish it out, but that's everybody's important. Like a good player that can take it.
That's important because I was in this band a few years ago and we did one tour of Europe and there was one guy who he was in the opening band, which is, I shouldn't go to be too specific because then if someone hears this, they'll know exactly who I'm talking about. Okay, I'll be really vague. But this one guy was so annoying. And everyone wanted to kill him. And so he became, like... And I didn't know... I knew that everyone was friends with him, so I didn't know. I was like, I guess they all must really like him. And I don't like him, but something's wrong with me, I guess, because I don't like him.
Yeah.
And I was keeping it to myself, because I was like, well, I don't want to insult their friend. Like, I just got to figure out what...
What's wrong with me?
Yeah, and so finally after a few days, I was like, what's in private with one other guy? I was like, what's up with this guy? And he goes, oh, he's an asshole. And I was like, oh, that's what I thought.
Everybody hates him.
And he's like, yeah, we all hate him. I'm like, oh, I was losing my mind because I thought I just hated him and I thought something was wrong with me because I thought you guys were all friends. He's like, no, we all hate him. And then once I was like, I was so relieved that everyone, just because I thought I was losing my mind, it's like, oh, okay. So then we wouldn't gang up on him, but we were, once I was able to be like, oh, you hate that guy too? Yeah, I hate him. And then.
You just need that support.
Yeah. And we tried to be as nice as, like, yeah. but it was sort of a bond of like, we all want to kill this guy. So then when the
hate
next...
It does bring people together sometimes.
It does, because yeah. We were like, oh, this guy is driving us fucking insane. So then, jokingly, on the next tour we did of Europe, I was like, well, we don't have anyone we... Unless I was the guy that everyone hated was possible. But I was like, we don't have a whipping boy, so I just chose the drummer in our band. I was like, Drew, you're the guy.
Take one for the team.
And so I just started abusing him aggressively. And he started doing it back. And then we were just constantly, for like a solid year, just being so mean to each other, always. Like, until finally I realized we saw each other like when we weren't on tour.
Mm.
Like we just ran into each other like at a show. And we were being mean to each other there, and then I was like, you know, I think we need to
bury this,
stop this, because now we're just at a bar.
Just turned into pricks.
Yeah, like, and I'm like, we like each other. He's like, yeah, of course. I'm like, we should just be normal to each other because we're not on tour right now. And then so now that's what we do. It's all worked out.
That's a good resolution.
Yeah, I don't know what my point is. Among the problems with my podcast is there's long tangents that
it doesn't always have
sure
to be a point.
My point is, yeah. I guess it's a cautionary tale. Is that I want, you know,
people to
just be careful.
Be aware.
Be aware of the dangers of being pricks to each other. Though I do encourage it, generally speaking.
It's enjoyable.
So what will happen after your US invasion? Will you guys tour Europe?
Yeah, the album comes out at the end of April, and then from there on it's just heavy touring and festivals, which is what I really want to do, so.
Yeah, like the European festivals.
Mm. I think we're going to try and come back in June for like a long time here.
Oh, nice. So you do the summer festivals here.
Well, I don't know. I know we're going to do some more shows here, which is cool. Uh-huh. Yeah. We've had like really good luck touring here before.
Mm-hmm.
We did the Lumineers tour 2 years ago.
Nice.
We got like 6 weeks in America, which is like such an like incredible experience.
You did 6 weeks with the Lumineers?
Mm.
That's a lot of haze and hoes.
Yeah, yeah, this is intense haze and hoes.
After all, you're like, I gotta get a break from these haze and hoes.
Yeah. But we, they're lovely guys, and we got to...
Oh, yeah, I'm not... That wasn't
no,
a negative.
No, I know. But there's a lot of hay
and ho comment.
But there is a lot of hey-hos.
Yeah. But everyone likes a nice hey-ho.
It's cathartic.
Yeah. You get a hey-ho in your song. You got the audience is
that's
on board.
It. You're sorted for life once you put a hey-ho in a song.
Yeah.
Just something about it is a bit addictive, maybe.
But this is, to be fair, as a hey-ho free album.
Not one hey or ho on this record.
I didn't hear them.
Maybe somewhere hidden, really low in the mix.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's no hey ho on this. Saving that for the next album.
Yeah, the next album will be the hey ho based album.
Yeah.
Wait, so you prefer touring over here than over Europe?
I just like touring in general.
Uh-huh.
I purposely, after our last kind of record cycle, I didn't want to do any shows for a while, and I wanted to make an album before I did anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't do a show for 2 years, and that was really, I hated not playing, because it's such a, I guess it's like the penultimatum of why you do it, is to play live for people.
Yeah.
So now to like have shows lined up and be able to play is just so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the main joy of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite city to play in the world?
No.
What's the
I have
weirdest?
Preferences for countries, maybe. Uh-huh. That's the weirdest.
Well, let's go preference.
Preferences. I love playing in America. People are just very open about how they feel about things. And I think in the UK, it can be a bit too polite sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we don't hype people up enough. But I don't know. People can just be, are less inclined to embarrass themselves with dancing or call out responses and stuff like that. And in America and Europe, people just seem to be a lot more kind of confident with themselves in terms of dancing. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I like just having conversations with the audience from the stage is just really neat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we've had such a good time in America every time we've came. And Australia's really good as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's really fun over there. But I mean, yeah, in general, there's nowhere I hate, mm-hmm. which is good. Except I did go to Kansas once.
Oh, really? Where?
Really grim. It was like in some sort of, it was with the Lumineers again. It was an indoor mall kind of thing, but also outdoor, and like a million degrees.
Oh.
And just odd.
But I feel like that's a big hey-ho town, or state.
That
Kansas.
Is the hey-ho state.
It's authentically
like.
Hey-ho
yeah.
operation there. I love the idea of life trainee.
Yeah, I nearly called the album that.
That's really good. It's like the opposite of, it kind of gives the finger to life coaches.
Yeah.
Do you have that in the UK?
Yeah, like motivational.
Yeah.
I don't think they're called life coaches there, but same vibe.
It's like a thing that, it's like a therapist that you don't call a therapist, and I guess they yell at you more.
Yeah, and they force you into having a good life, kind of.
Yeah, but it never works out.
No.
It doesn't work out.
I think the most I've seen in relation to that is like that movie Dodgeball.
Oh yeah.
Where there's a life coach in it.
And then you always find out the life coach is like
it's the worst life.
Yeah, like they're a janitor when they're or something. No offense to janitors
yeah.
at all, but they're like doing that or something, like behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait a minute.
Like they haven't really cultivated any huge success.
Yeah, you think that they're gonna be like they have their shit together, but it's rarely the case.
It's always the opposite.
So the anyway, life training. I love that. That's like a beautiful. So do you think, could it be argued that we're life trainees for life, like until the end?
Yeah, I think from start to finish, that's kind of, I don't think you ever reach a point where you're like, upgrade.
Yeah, you're like constantly.
It was like the idea of, I think I was trying to learn how to just be content with everything, because I feel like I'm a really unsatisfied person, like I always want more,
mm-hmm.
which is maybe not a great trait, but yeah, I feel like it was, life training was a way of saying like, I'm not 1,000,000% happy, but like, I'm okay with not being that way,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it's like the life training, just idea of like never truly knowing your exact purpose, but like still
yeah.
having a good time.
Yeah, that's true. I think I'm definitely a life trainee. The more I hear you talk about it, so I'm like, I still don't know. may have figured out on my deathbed what I was supposed to do. Or not. We'll see. So what do you do when you're not, the rare times when you do have downtime, what do you do? Like when you get back to Manchester and taking a total break, what's
my thing?
Yeah.
I used to do a lot of skateboarding.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really like that. And I haven't for a little while because I'm kind of scared to break something before we play shows.
That's what I was going to ask is, I did a few shows. I'm a comedian and I did a few shows opening for Ryan Adams, and that was just my way of name dropping my own podcast.
It was good. It was seamless.
But my point is that he would skateboard all the time. Neat. And I would just be like, how do you don't like you have
it's
all
risky
these,
shit.
Yeah, you yeah. have all these people like who are were they're all like on tour like this and like if you wipe out
that's
like
it.
The tour is over. The
whole thing's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to like if we'd tour on a bus and stuff, I'd bring a skateboard and mm-hmm. all sorts of like sporting activities.
Yeah.
We like to play lots of like football and stuff as a band as well.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. So
and you guys are probably good at it being from the UK.
We like to think we are. I don't know if we are, but we're very competitive together. But it's like it adapts to location. So now we're in America, we really want to do batting practice and get into American football and do all that. Yeah, like the Tommy and James from the band are really into American football.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Seattle Seahawks, that's a thing, right?
It is a thing.
Yeah.
That's a football team.
Yeah, they're really
good. Wait, so do you go to batting cages, you were saying?
We did one time we were in Kansas. We went to a batting cage there because there was nothing else to do.
That's the best, though, isn't it?
So cool.
I love a nice batting cage.
I felt like an American dream, like wearing the helmet.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Wow. So, all right, so you do skateboarding when you're over there.
Yeah.
And then what else do you get up to?
We really like photography.
Oh, nice.
Into that. Just like walking around taking photos, stand up. I also go to a lot of shows, hang with my friends. I live above a fried chicken shop in Manchester.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's called Alan's Fried Chicken.
Like an all-night chicken concern?
Yeah. Like it's like 4 p.m. to 4 a.m. every day.
Oh, wow.
I think it's open on Christmas.
So
impressive.
when you walk outside, do you have to be careful of like puke with chicken, fried chicken in it?
There's a lot of things I have to be careful of. Yeah, the scent of fried chicken is quite strong. I think I've adjusted.
Does it come up into your apartment?
It's like the shop's right below us, so the two floors of our apartment is like, it's an intense scent.
Oh, wow.
Big vent beside my room.
Do you
it's
like
exciting.
Fried chicken?
Yeah, but I'm not like...
Not to
not
the
gonna
point
like
where you want to...
Where I want to... Eat it fried. For every meal or anything.
Or smell it all the time.
And I think the Alan's Place has a 1-star review as well.
Oh,
so
really?
I'm like not really into it's not like an exciting fried chicken place. It's like a
when
night out, really drunk,
yeah,
last
when you're,
resort.
You have no other options.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust it.
When you want the very best and the best is not available.
No. Nope.
Alan's Fried Chicken.
Yeah, it's like KFC -100.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It sounds perfect. There seems like that's like a big thing in the UK. Like, there's, do you know Chicken Cottage?
We don't have one there, but it's a thing here, yeah.
No, in London. Chicken Cottage.
No.
Maybe I'm giving them too much credit.
Chicken, it's like, is it a small chain? Well, not
yeah.
a big chain, but like a small.
Yeah, it's, you always see like.
They love a fried chicken place in the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot in London, every street you kind of.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some of the names. There are a lot though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chicken Cottage. That's one of our sponsors. That's why I had to work
chicken
it in.
Chicken for breakfast.
I'm always. Yeah. So you go. So do you go to Philadelphia tonight?
Mm-mm.
Oh,
I go tomorrow.
So this is like the media blitz tour.
Yeah.
Do you have any other podcasts at people's houses with a dog that's loud?
I hope so, but I don't think so. I don't think there's more dogs involved, no. Unfortunately.
See, this now she's fully in podcast. If the listener on her,
she's listening in.
Can you hear with our new fancy mics? Can you hear the breathing? That's the stuff. That's the bonus content.
It's like the ASMR stuff.
Oh my god, that's what we should cash in on. Is just put a mic up to her and make a YouTube video of her like breathing and scratching, and then between you and me, she licks her butthole at least once a day, which is immediately followed by her trying to kiss me.
Oh yeah.
On the mouth.
They go hand in hand.
Yep. And I just let it happen. Because who else will ever love me that much? Who else will I ever love that much? I'm looking at these songs. What does, on your track 12, is YBFT?
You've been forgetting to brush your teeth, is what.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. It's just, it's a song about... just really not having your shit together and going out too much on nights out and like not being a smoker but still smoking everybody's cigarettes. It's the kind of
this song seems like it might be about me. Though I don't do that anymore, but in the past I've had phases.
Me too.
But well, that's the best way to smoke, isn't it?
Like, yeah, when it's free.
Yeah. I feel like I could never into smoking enough to
purchase,
to just fully, yeah, like, because I like after like 10 beers I'm like, yeah, smoking seems probably exciting. Like a good idea that I should get involved with.
Never
right
is
now.
When you wake up the next day, it like multiplies a hangover by like 5 at
yeah
least.
Yeah, that's what I learned in my old age. I don't do it anymore.
Yeah. It's definitely the when you're like 13, it's very exciting.
You were smoking at 13?
Yeah, it wasn't ideal.
I probably would have been terrified if I knew. If I was 13 and you were 13, if we were at the same time.
Yeah, I would have been scared of myself now, like.
Really? Why, you were like a street tough, it sounds like, smoking?
No, I was definitely, I was definitely just like, I hung around with all the emo kids, but I wasn't one.
Uh-huh.
But I just kind of fell into that area, and they were all into, they all drank and stuff, but I was too scared of that. So I kind of, I eased in with cigarettes.
What is like, edgy. Do, is there, do you have Buckfast?
Buckfast, yeah. In Scottish mainly, but oh, yeah. We have it.
That's what I learned about on one of my trips in
Have you tried it?
I haven't tried it yet.
Me
I
neither.
Was promised that I would get, someone was going to bring me some, so I can
really. I don't
think
really, you want
it. No, it sounds
it's
like
tonic wine?
Yeah, it sounds
it makes people
rough.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect night out. That seems like maybe a good YBFTBYT
supplier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Buckfast.
So you need to make that song.
Oh my gosh. What are sort of like, I feel like Northern Ireland doesn't get it doesn't get like its due in America. Like we don't. It's still a land of mystery to us Americans. Not me, but definitely Chris. He has no idea about it.
I'll try and... I mean, Ireland, Northern Ireland, same thing, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no difference for me. Trying to think of highlights. I'm from Derry.
Yeah.
It's a cool place. I liked it. It's kind of just do what you want. Mm-hmm. Nobody's really going to tell you off or anything.
Uh-huh.
It's fun. It's like you'll see the same 10 people every single day.
Uh-huh.
Very, yeah. There's like 2 bars that are really good.
Is that part of the reason you decided to
I just wanted,
skip town?
I wanted to like be able to buy sushi if ever I wanted. I was a player and I wanted to go to like gigs. Not many people come to Derry to play shows.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to go to gigs. I just wanted, like, things to be very immediately within reach, and it's just not really the thing there. Just because of size and because it's location stuff. But, I mean, in terms of growing up, it was, like, it couldn't be more perfect to grow up in.
Because mm-hmm.
you know everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, just doing things in large groups was always a plan. It's cool.
Yeah. So do you ever think of moving here to America?
I,
up your Kansas accents.
Not there, definitely not. But yeah, I like the idea of spending some time in New York and LA, mm-hmm. doing some like writing and stuff there in the future. Yeah. Would be cool.
Just record an album here.
Yeah.
Your New York album.
All about New York.
What now? I know this is like a really basic, annoying question, but what is sort of the music that you grew up on that like influenced you? Because I hear like all sorts of things.
Yeah, I listen to a lot. My parents are really musical. As listeners, they listen to everything. So I grew up with like. Listened to a lot of Pink Floyd. That's my dad's favorite band.
Oh,
so,
really? What era?
Yeah. Dark Side of the Moon, mainly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when we were kids, both my parents work in mental health. And.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they do a lot of, like, overnight shifts, so one parent would look after us one night and the other a different night.
Uh-huh.
And my dad would host these, like, music parties on Sundays and stuff, and he'd play, like, Time by Pink Floyd, and we'd all go crazy because it's such a exciting sonic like world to listen to when you're a kid.
Yeah
And we just dance madly to that, but then also we'd listen like Maroon 5 when they had like This Love Has Taken Its Toll, stuff like that.
I feel like Maroon 5, that first record,
it's insanely good.
I was like, I would only hear it like you know, like you walk into like a store or something and it's playing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is really catchy. If I can handle this. And then they went off.
They couldn't top She Will Be Loved. Is that the song?
I don't know that one, I don't think.
She will be loved.
Oh, yeah.
What an incredible
song. But then they
song.
Lost me with the moves like Jagger. I was I'm out.
Yeah, I was out too. I mean, if my friends show me the YouTube video, I will watch it, but...
I'm not sure if I've seen it. I only hear them, like, by, like, accident, I guess. But then when I heard that, I was like, oh, I'm done.
Yeah. It was like Jagger was not... Didn't do much for me.
No. They used to be really catchy.
I was really into them as a 5-year-old.
Well, it's, like, really melodic. You were 5 when that started. They've been around a while, though, I guess, huh? Where's the time go? I'll probably be dead soon. All the years just fly by. Well, that's interesting, though. Like, I was thinking about... Because I think... Not to keep talking about Maroon 5, I promise. But I feel like the reason I don't like the moves like Jagger era or anything else I've heard after that is because they seem to have drifted into... speaking of Manchester, I was reading an interview with Johnny Marr where he was describing... He's like, there's pop music, which he likes and I like, and then there's chart music, which is like, just seems like it's like...
It's a bit different.
Manufactured to be like a huge hit, but it's just like, and it's all like histrionic singing and processed and like all these...
Like it, please.
Yeah. Like there's no artistry really. It's just like kind of
just
like...
a lot of... things that sound kind of pretty repeating.
Yeah, all like frosting and no cake.
Yeah, that's why like this record is quite poppy.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say, but I was bringing it around to compliment your great album Grimtown. Thank you. I feel like you have it's great pop music.
Yeah.
All like a great melody and it's like you can dance, you can cry.
Get all the emotions.
And you don't. And it's And it's like a fully formed thing. It's not like
it's not computer.
No, it sounds like a person.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like whenever I started to write the record, I think I've always feared the idea of making music that's too pop, and I definitely like purposely tried to make things edgier in my first record.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an edgy record at all, but in my brain I was like, oh, bit alternative. With this record, I was just like. If you enjoy it and it sounds good, like just keep going with it. And I think that's been really rewarding whenever I finish the record to be like, this is poppy and I'm still really proud of it.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for it. Bring it on. Because it's weird. Like I feel like it can't get too poppy for my ear. Like music in general.
Yeah.
But then when it drifts into
things can get cringy for me, but I don't know if they can get too poppy.
Well, I feel like that, like we were talking about, like chart music, that's where it drifts into cringe.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I'm out.
This is not my thing.
But pop, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm into pop. I think a big change for me was your choice of band.
What's that?
Troye Sivan. No.
Oh, I don't know if I know that.
An Australian pop artist.
Chris, do you know Troye Sivan? Chris is younger than me, so
which
I
really
check
good.
With him when I look. He's my youth culture expert. I look to him for things that I don't know.
Well, he's like a pop artist, and it's really good, but it's not. It gets played on radio, but it's not cringy pop.
Yeah.
And also, like, Broken Social Scene can
be
quite poppy.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, I really like them.
Yeah, I really like them. They, like, hearing You Forgot It in the People by them was, I don't know, for me it felt like I could make music and not be scared for it to be too, like, delightful.
Yeah, yeah. So you, I feel like your music has such... Like, you're very young, as you know, I think. most people feel like, starting out, like, in their teens are just not... It seems like you have, like, a vision that is rare.
Maybe.
Early on.
Maybe not.
I think so.
Well, see, I just kind of, just have fun. Kind of think about things after I do them. It seems to work.
What would you do if something that I can't imagine? What would if you could not do music?
Do music anymore?
Some sort
I like
of
that
the
question.
Hammer was brought down, no longer
becomes illegal.
I'm going to make it even harder.
Could I not be in the music industry at all, or just like not be a performer element?
I'm going to wipe out
altogether.
No music industry. You also can't be a photographer, because you mentioned that.
Okay.
And no professional skateboarding.
I was never going to really go into that, but thanks for the...
I've wiped out...
You've wiped out everything.
And you cannot work at a chicken restaurant.
Okay.
If you could not do any of those four things.
I would...
It's really hard.
You've made it hard
All right,
for
I'll
me.
Bring back... All right, you can do anything.
I can do anything.
I'll take all restrictions.
Well, I mean, boring answer, but I would try to work in the music industry where I could. Otherwise, I really like the idea of, like, farming maple or something like that. I feel like that'd be a really enjoyable
farming
job.
Farming maple? What, like maple
syrup?
Syrup, yeah. Really?
Hammering into trees and collecting maple syrup. I love that idea.
I'd like to see you do that now that
I'd love to see myself have my own maple syrup brand.
I'm showing my Northern Ireland ignorance.
We don't grow it.
So you'd have to move to Canada.
Yeah, but that's the dream as well.
To move to Canada?
Yeah, I love Canada.
You really buried the lead on this whole conversation. What's your favorite? I'm weirdly into Canada also.
Yeah.
I'm actually writing a book about Canada right now.
You love it.
That's how... I do. I have a book coming out in the fall about Canada. I spent the last year and a half traveling. Well, like, not constantly, obviously, but going back and forth to various places in Canada.
Cool.
Like, I got that... If you can see over there, that geisha painting is from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. Recent trip I took there.
Colors on it are amazing.
It was actually like in the like tourist center of Moose Jaw, which is a tiny place. I'm surprised they had a tourist center. But there was like an art show there, and I didn't expect to walk in there and buy art, but I saw that and I was like, I'm gonna need to have
you were sold.
And it was called It's, I think, pretty clearly a Japanese geisha, but the title is Chinese Beauty of the painting.
Yeah.
Which adds another layer of
weirdness
to it.
It's beautiful.
It is. The listeners can't see it, but you have to take our word. But where's your favorite place in Canada?
I've only been to Vancouver and Toronto.
Oh, those are good spots.
I've heard of Montreal, and I feel like I would love it.
Oh, that's...
I don't know if I do, but I just feel like I do.
No, you will. Yeah. I feel like between you and me, not to take shots at Toronto and Vancouver, but Montreal is the best place in Canada.
I loved Vancouver when I went. I've mm-hmm. been a couple of times, and it's just really... something really romantic about the landscape of it, and
yeah,
how if you go north, you end up in just insane landscapes.
Yeah, totally.
And we played a festival there when I was maybe 5 years ago, around about that. And we drove through this huge valley for ages, and then once we got to the festival, there was like bear warnings. I just thought that was amazing.
Yeah,
it's like the idea of going to festival and there being a bear warning. That's why it's so cool to play here.
That should be a song. I'm not going to tell you.
Bear warning.
Bear warning.
That's pretty good.
And then the video could be you as like a maple syrup.
Bear.
Bear.
I'm all
you know, take it or leave it. But I know
I'll credit you if it comes to life.
You don't even have to credit me. Just, you know, maybe give it like a little.
You can be in it.
Yeah. I could be like one of the. A bear or a tree. I don't know. We'll figure it out. So thank you so much, Friday.
Thanks for having me.
And everyone, I'll say this again when we wrap up, but everyone go get Grimtown by Soak, a.k.a. Bridie. And thank you so much for coming by. And Terra Philadelphia, a new one. They've had it tuned for too long.
Okay, I'll try my best.
And there you have it, my delightful conversation with Bridie Mons Watson, a.k.a. Soak. Get her album, Grimtown. It's going to be out very soon. And check out her jams. It's really great. It's pop music in the best, what I think pop music should be, which is excellent, upbeat, catchy music that doesn't sound like it was made in a factory of robots designed to... you know, annoy you. That's that. I guess I'm talking about, you know, I guess what's on the radio. I don't know. I digress. But my point is, Soak is awesome. I'm a huge fan. And both of the woman behind the music, Bridie Mons Watson, and the artist and music and all that. And I'm going to shut up, but my meds are kicking in, and gosh, I'm all over the map as usual. I'd like to thank you for listening. I'd like to thank my partner in crime, the brains behind the operation, the tech whiz, Mr. Chris Gersbeck, for making this all possible. My co-host, Lucy, who's quiet to the point of concern right now. I fear what she may be doing in the next room. Please rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get incredible podcasts. Thank you to all my listeners on FUBAR Radio. I'm excited to be a part of FUBAR once again with this show. And all my listeners in the UK, I'm coming soon, doing some shows. Brace yourselves. I don't know if you can hear it, but I'm also growing a beard for a movie that I almost said starring in. I'm not starring. Supporting role. I digress. I guess I was just trying to point out that I'm going to be shooting a movie soon. That's not a big deal. Anyway, what I meant to say, please support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Dave Hill or go to patreon.com and just search Dave Hill. Make a game out of it. And you get all sorts of incredible things. Shout out to all the dangerous snakes who hate bullshit out there. And thank you. Everyone have a great day. Stay street, stay hydrated, and get tested. Until next time, I've been Dave Hill, and it wouldn't kill me to take a shower. Bye-bye. Since you've been gone, since you've been gone, not sure how much.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.